everybody, and welcome to the Katie Weaver Show. This is Katie. I'm your host. I'm so happy to be here. If you are listening live, it is the 28th of April at 11 a.m. Pacific time. If you're listening to an archive or a replay, I want to welcome you to the show. I want to let you know we're live streaming this event, and you can find that by heading over to Facebook or YouTube and look for Katie Weaver Domestic Mystic, and you'll find that. I also want to let you know that I'm over in the chat room. You can find that by heading over to 12radio.com, clicking on the chat button, and you'll be redirected into the Facebook chat. So that's the way to connect over there. Simple Simon. Also, if you're in the chat room, I did put a link to the live stream if you'd rather watch. So that's how to do something such as that. So, how are ya? I hope everybody is well. I feel like we've been on kind of an energetic roller coaster recently, at least according to the Daily Dish. Man, it's been kind of up and down, and the Daily Dish has indicated the last several days feeling things like grief and emotional loss and a need to insulate and potential power struggles. And when that kind of energy comes up, it usually makes me think people just in general aren't in a very good place and are trying really, really hard to get to a better place. So if that is you, you have all of my love and respect and support, because I know that's a hard place to be. So hello to Tara and Quelly. Good to have you guys here. I'm excited because Beltane is in a couple of days. It's on Friday. That would be the 1st of May. And you know, we talk a lot about the solstices and the equinoxes, but we don't get into the other turns of the wheel all that much. But Beltane's an interesting one. When I was a kid, I remember very distinctly celebrating May Day. It was one of those days that, like, the whole school was having a celebration, and people were bringing food, and there was like kind of a big party. I remember very well learning the maypole dance. Do you guys remember this? Like, there was a pole, and everybody had a ribbon or a streamer, and you were dancing over, under, past other people until you created this woven thing around the whole pole. Did you guys do this? Do you think your teachers knew that they were enacting a pagan ritual? Mine did not. I assure you, they did not. But there was some kind of sentiment there, right? That we were celebrating spring. We were celebrating community. But I remember so clearly learning the maypole dance and probably never really understanding why we did it. But by God, we did it every year. I remember that very clearly from grade school. And on May 1st, I always think, it's May Day, it's May Day. You know, that play on words. Right? There's no way my teachers knew this. We wouldn't have been doing it, by God. But anyway, so I thought we'd talk about Beltane and some ways to mark Beltane. We are going to do an oracle card spread today, so if you want to follow along, this would be a good time to grab your cards. There we go. Okay. So, let's talk about it. Okay. Before that, though, I have to tell you something wild that's happening today. I don't know if it's wild. I have a wheelchair arriving today that is motorized. Not for all the time use. I don't need that. But what I do need is a way to be able to do more of the things that I just can't do anymore. My legs are so unpredictable. There are days where I walk pretty good. There are days when I am in the back of Walmart and I'm not sure how I'm going to get out of there. There are lots of days where there's things that I wish I could do that I don't. And I just realized recently how many things Scott and I don't do anymore, I don't do with my sisters anymore, that were things we used to always do that I just simply can't do anymore. And what a journey this has been for me in having to knock my own bullshit off, I think is probably the fairest thing to say. Like, we talk a lot about not comparing yourself to others, not beating yourself up, being careful about your self-talk, right? And I realized that I was giving myself a really hard time for needing some wheels. I have a walker now too that mostly just for trying to take walks to keep my legs as strong as I can, but it has a seat and it has a wheelchair function. It sucks, but it's enough that if I was unable to walk to the car or home, that Scott could push me. So that was our thought. Because even though it hurts and it's hard, I can't just let my legs totally go to hell. I have to at least try, I guess. But anyway, it makes sense because I have three different diseases that weaken legs. And I know that sounds so dramatic, but it's just true. Hypoparathyroidism, that is the no balance of calcium in my body. That's surprisingly hard on your legs and causes a lot of leg weakness. And then psoriatic arthritis also lends to a lot of arthritis symptoms in my hips, knees, and feet. And then, of course, lipedema, which has resulted in massive swelling in my legs that make them really heavy and sometimes just unwilling to operate. So, anyway, with all of that being said, I realized something about me that I didn't really like. I was judging the hell out of myself for needing to get a wheelchair. And at first, we were just going to buy a push one. And then Scott was like, if we're going to invest, maybe we like invest well so that you have something that you can really use wherever you want to go. Right? Truth. So we decided to buy this and let's hope it doesn't suck. It's been a weird thing. There's a reptile convention we want to go to in Salt Lake on Saturday. So we thought we should buy this and get it here now and practice with it this week and make sure that I can drive it without taking out small children or anything. And it also has a function so you can turn off the driving part so that Scott could just push it if needed. So I mean, I think it's going to serve my purposes. And I've been one part dreading it and one part excited. And the more I think about it, the more excited I get. And I'll get to that. But the judgment I was holding over myself, and finally I asked myself one day, I thought, wait a minute. Is this how you feel about other people when you see them in a wheelchair? And I was appalled, right? I was like, of course not. No. Do you judge what you think their medical condition is in and if they deserve to be in that chair? Of course not. No more than I look at people who are parked in handicap with a handicap sticker and decide that they do or don't deserve to be parked there. I know that it's none of my fucking business, right? I know that. And that I just want to wish them well and that's it. And that is truly how I feel or how I thought I felt about other disabled people until it turned in to me. And then that switch flipped, and I became very judgmental and harsh and unkind. And maybe it's just a part of the process. I don't know. But that realization that I would never treat someone else that way, I would never look at someone else that way, really woke me up to the fact that I need to rethink the way I talk to myself, the way I look at myself. And I need to knock my own bullshit off, right? But then I started thinking about all of the things that I want to do and realizing how limited I have actually been. For example, traveling. I proved to myself last fall that I can fly, but I had to have a wheelchair in the airport, which is fine because if I flew now, I would bring my chair. But maybe I can take that trip to Ireland I've always dreamed of, right? Maybe I can. Maybe I've been the problem in holding my own self back. And again, maybe that's part of the process. But you know, some other things I have not done in years that I used to love to do. The farmer's market. The last time I went to the farmer's market with my sisters, it was hell. It was hell. Walking that far is so painful for me, I can't even begin to tell you. And I just can't do it. I just can't. And so I was like, well, this is fun. I'll be able to go to the farmer's market this summer. Both the one in my town and the one in my sister's town that's bigger that we used to go to every year or every Saturday morning we'd go to the farmer's market. Scott loves the farmer's market. He loves to go buy whatever, you know, food, stuff people are making, growing, whatever, and come home and craft meals around it. But we just don't do that anymore. Well, now we can. This reptile event we're going to this weekend. Never could have done that in a million years. But now I can. The state fair. Not my biggest jam, but Scott loves it. And we haven't gone in years because, again, I couldn't do it. So now I can. Just going to the mall. Christy said, you know, we used to go to the mall and wander and shop and have fun, and now we can do that again. Yeah, no shit. But one of the things Well, Evanescence. We have Evanescence tickets in Salt Lake in July. It was a Christmas gift for Kara, but I bought a ticket as well so we could go with. The last few concerts I've gone to with my sisters have been incredibly difficult for me. Now, I'll have my chair. Yeah. I also, and this is the thing that I'm probably the most excited about, are you guys familiar with Banana Ball? Do you see the videos on your feed of the Savannah Bananas and now all the other teams that they've built into? It's like exhibition baseball. It is baseball with a twist. There's lots of singing and dancing. The rules are totally different. It's hilarious and looks like so much fun. So they started actually in Savannah, Georgia. But have built over the last several years into, I think there's 10 teams now, maybe. But anyway, Banana Ball is so much fun. And guess what? I got Banana Ball tickets this morning. They were coming to Boise. And to get tickets, they do the whole lottery thing. My God, I felt like I was going to have a panic attack. Waiting, you know, waiting until the prescribed time. So we all got on the list to potentially buy to get in the lottery. And Scott and I are the only ones that got through. So we can buy a total of 10 tickets. So as it turns out, there's 9 people in our family that want to go. And I actually made it into the second group of people buying tickets. So I got really good tickets, the first 5. Now, Scott is not until the 12th group. What the hell, Scott? So hopefully we'll get 5 more. But, at any rate, me and Scott and the kids are definitely going to Banana Ball. But it is in the stadium at Boise State. Now, I've been into the stadium at Boise State lots of times for football games. And I'm going to tell you something. I've nearly killed myself doing that. Because you have to park and walk many blocks to get to the car, to drop off your car. It's a really big excursion for me. And I've done it a lot of times because I love Boise State football. But this time, no ma'am, I'll have my chair. So it'll be a lot easier for me to do that. Honestly, had I not made this decision finally to get a chair, we would not have been going to Banana Ball. But I'm so excited. So I'm slowly talking myself through my own bullshit. I'm feeling a lot better and less weird about this whole thing. Now, I think the first couple of trips out will be an interesting practice in how we do with the chair. I'm actually going to, I think it's supposed to come today. I think we'll set it up charge it up, and then maybe just go like take a walk around the park this evening, or I don't know, maybe go to a grocery store or Walmart and just practice a little bit. I don't know. I don't know. But anyway, I have taken that step, so here we are. So again, it's not a chair I have to be in all the time. I'll be using my own legs at home, and in my yard and stuff, and we'll still be taking walks to keep my legs as strong as I can because, well, I need them, but I'm not going to suffer so much for it and miss so many things I'd like to do. So here we go. And I don't know why I'm sharing all of that today, except for that maybe someone else needed to hear it too. Maybe sometimes we just have to let ourselves evolve. Maybe sometimes we have to make the kinder decision for ourselves. I don't know. I don't know what the answer is, but I know that this is the right evolution for me. So, oh, Tara said I've considered a cane just for visibility myself. Sure. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, Maureen's heading back to Ireland in November. Oh, I'm so jealous, my friend. It was my goal to go to Ireland for my 50th birthday. And then I decided there was just no way in hell. And now I'm like, no, I could. I could. I mean, I still have like 14 months to save up enough money to go, which is fine. So maybe I will. Maybe I really will. We'll see. Anyway, there you go. That's where things are at. So I may have some stories for you next week about taking out small children. I don't know. My grandma was, by a shoot, the time she was in her 80s, she struggled a lot to walk. And she did walk with a cane and walked profoundly slow and struggled. And when we get into a wheelchair or whatnot, many times I had been able to bring her in a wheelchair, in like in a grocery store and stuff, because it was hard on her. But one time, my Uncle Mike convinced her to get into one of those riding cart things in the wheelchair, in the grocery store, which is something she really didn't want to do. But he talked her into it, into our local grocery store. So she gets in the cart, and this is a woman who did not want to be seen at all. She just wanted to be a wallflower. She didn't want any attention whatsoever. She was very self-conscious of herself, which is sad, but unfortunately that's how life was for her. And so the thought of being seen in the riding cart nearly killed her. But anyway, I don't know. Mike's just, he's a quick talker apparently, and he talked her in to getting in the riding cart. And the first thing she did was run it across the store right into a big display of cereal and just blow that display up. Apparently, there was cereal everywhere, including on her, in the cart, not, you know, loose cereal, but boxes of cereal everywhere. And according to Mike, she climbed out of the cart right there in the middle of the cereal box explosion and grabbed her cane and turned around and walked right back out of that store. She didn't even buy her groceries. She was done. And then when they got to the car, she chewed his ass for talking her into that. That story kills me because that was so her. But anyway, let's hope I don't do things like that. But then again, maybe I will. I don't know. Maybe I'm my grandmother's grandchild. Okay. Oh, Jane said she has a mobile cart story about her mother that's similar. See, this is why. This is why, ma'am, I need to practice. Yes. So that hopefully I don't even do that. But why are we going to a reptile convention? You may be asking yourself. For the praying mantises. Have you guys seen all of the different praying mantises that people breed and how cool they are? We've been watching videos for years. We decided to go check it out for ourselves. Okay. Yes, and I will get to some clearings and some energy work. So Absolutely, you guys that are asking. So, and thank you for your support. You guys are amazing, and I am going to be fine. I'm ridiculously privileged to be able to just, you know, have what I need, and I am fine. All is well. So, well, I'll let you know next week how this goes. It's true, disabled seating at concerts is pretty good. Yeah. Oh, no. Jane said, then the battery died in the parking lot behind a car of a customer who was leaving. Oh, shit. All the problems then. Got it. Yep. The chair. I just have one more thing. Sorry, you're probably sick of hearing about this. But things are so much better than they used to be. We had a writing chair that was my dad's that my sister was storing. So we pulled it out and I was just going to use it. But the batteries were shot and replacing them was like more expensive than just, it didn't make sense. Because what we discovered is that new chairs, the more current ones, they have 20 miles worth of battery. My chair only weighs 54 pounds and folds flat in the car. Like, no more do you have to have a hitch on the back of your vehicle to haul it around and stuff. It literally just folds up and sits in your car. Amazing. Technology, man. All right, let's get back to May Day. All right. I called this edition The Fires of Beltane because, well, this is another turn of the wheel. And the next turn, of course, will be the summer solstice. Alrighty. Beltane is an ancient Celtic word, or from the ancient Celtic world. It was celebrated around May 1st. It's the halfway point between the spring equinox and the summer solstice. So it's another seasonal turning point. This was another turn of the wheel that was celebrated. That there were big feasts and festivals and bonfires. So the uncertainty of spring has passed. The light has returned. And life is fully in motion. So Beltane was celebrated as a fire festival historically. Fire played a central role. There were large bonfires on hilltops, and communities would gather around them in celebration. These believed to hold protective and purifying qualities. Livestock, of course, are essential to survival, so they were driven between two fires as a way of blessing and safeguarding them for the coming season. Isn't that interesting? People would pass through the smoke or leap over the flames, carrying the intention of protection and renewal into their lives. You don't even have to jump over a fire for this unless you would like to. I don't think I can jump my chair, so I'm not going to do it. I'm just not. Fire was understood, you know, even then it was understood to the ancients as a purifier, as something that shifts energy. I think it's so fascinating. And I want to, every turn of the wheel, all I really want to do is celebrate the way the ancients did. However, just like a lot of other turns of the wheel, guess what? The same kind of sentiments were celebrated across the globe in some way. So, of course, across Europe, we had May Day celebrations. And at Lincoln Elementary in Rexburg, Idaho in the 80s. across Europe. Yes. So they had the maypole, the ribbons that are woven together is playful and symbolic. It represents connection, unity, and the weaving together of different energies to create something whole. In Germany and parts of Northern Europe, Walpurgis Night or Purgis Night is celebrated with bonfires. Oh, and a sense of stepping outside the ordinary. The Romans observed Floralia, which was a festival dedicated to Flora, the goddess of flowers. And in Hawaii, Lei Day reflects this same kind of seasonal energy and the wearing of flowers. And of course, these all include, well, mostly include fires and feasts and community. So some of the symbology, of course, fires, flowers, tempts me to go cut a few of my tulips and bring them in and arrange them somehow. I just let my tulips go every year. I just let the petals fall off when they do, and I never do anything with them. But this year I'm like, oh, maybe I do for Beltane. Maybe I walk out and cut a few tulips and just arrange them in a little pitcher or something that I've made and put them on the table. I think I should. I think I will. Flowers, just like many things, or all things probably, I guess, that grow. They are a great indication of the circle of growth, the circle of life, from seed to flower, then to seed again. Flowers also remind me of the maiden, the mother, and the crone. You have the maiden that is the tender new plant, maybe the tight bud that hasn't opened yet. And then that plant opens up and it's the mother. It's nurturing the bees and the butterflies and providing its beauty. And then, as it starts to die back, it becomes the crone. I was thinking about roses that then turn in, of course, to rose hips. And rose hips, how nourishing they are. That they provide food for animals and nourishment and food for people. But they also provide the seeds for the next growth. There's also a belief that the veil is thinner during Beltane, a lot like the fall, yeah, the autumnal equinox. So if the veil is thinner, then this is a time that is marked with heightened intuition, inspiration, and a greater sense of alignment with the natural rhythms around us. It's a time to work on your intuition, to tap into those who have passed, to give yourself permission to feel more and to notice it. Sometimes I think it's just a reminder to return to what works for you. Oh, good Lord, my dogs are howling. I don't know if you can hear that. I don't know what's going on out front. Maybe the wheelchair's here. I don't know. I did prepare for you a simple Beltane ritual. I'm going to close my door. I'm not even sure you guys can hear them, but they're tearing it up out there. It's driving me crazy. You can't hear it. Okay, good. I think this microphone's pretty good at keeping out the outside noise, but they are going crazy in there. When the basset hound howls, the neighbors know it. Okay. So here's a Beltane fire ritual. Pardon me, that has no bonfire required. If you would like to have a bonfire, or you have a burning bowl or something like that, and you want to have a fire, by all means do so. But what you need is a candle, a small piece of paper, and something symbolic, a flower, a crystal, a ring. I would recommend a flower, considering, but you know, that's just me. Yeah. So for the ritual, you're going to light the candle, calling in warmth, life, momentum. You'll write down what you're ready to grow into. You're going to sit with that and feel it as if it's already true. Nice bit of manifesting there. And then safely burn or fold And keep the paper. I would burn it personally, but some people don't live in a place where they want to do things like that or just don't like it. That's up to you. And then close with gratitude. That's it. That's simple. If there's a time, if there's something in your life that's been asking for your attention, this is a great time to give it. If there's something in you that you want to work on, if there's something in your life that you want to shift, maybe it's just something you want to do that you haven't done yet. Or maybe it's bigger than that, that there's something bigger that needs to be tackled. This is a good time to do it. Beltane will support you. So I do have a tarot spread, and we'll pull that up when we get to my tip of the week. But first, Kelly has an article this week about Dorothy Kilgallen. I say it wrong every time. So she was a very early investigative journalist, and she was hardcore, and men hated her for it. She told the truth that other people didn't, and she managed to make a lot of contacts that other people didn't have, and she paid for it, but she was a true American badass. So read Kelly's article, listen to her podcast. It's awesome. This is really good stuff. And as women, honestly, do you remember her, Lillianne? To me, like, this is who I want to celebrate, you know, and remember and give credit to. I am so proud of the women that came before us, that came before me, that were so tough and so brave and so smart and were willing to sacrifice a lot. And you know they didn't think that at some point, somewhere, the world would be saying she changed things. They didn't know that. They didn't do it because of that. There's a lot of women in history that did some very big things that history never tells you about. So I love this series of Kellys for that reason. They deserve to be celebrated. They deserve for their stories to be told. Okay. Our Beltane Oracle spread. It's a six card spread. Now I'm going to teach you how to do it right now so that you can try this out if you would like to. All right. So the first card is the seed within. This is what's growing quietly within you right now. This is something that maybe hasn't emerged yet, that is trying to take root. The second card is the spark, what's ready to be activated. The third is in full bloom. Where am I being asked to show up more fully? The fourth card is what wants to grow. The fifth is a sacred connection. What can I lean into for connection or support? And then the becoming. What am I stepping into next? So that's the whole spread. So I'm going to do a collective reading for us, though I think this is probably a reading that's more effective to be done individually, but I'm still going to do it as an individual here, or a collective here, because I think this could get very personal, maybe too personal for our purposes. So we'll just do a collective Beltane reading. As an example, so I'm going to shuffle three times. And I'm going to pull my cards. So, and I know some of you guys like to cut the deck method. I like to fan my cards out. There's nothing wrong with whatever you choose. This is how I do it. All right. So, the first card is the Seed Within. And I never look at my cards until I get to them in the reading. Otherwise, I just get distracted. I think it colors the reading if you know what's coming. You know what I mean? That's my opinion. If you do it differently, more power to you. But to me, that's kind of where it sits. Okay. The Spark. Full Bloom. And again, this is just a collective Beltane reading for all of us. And then you can take the spread and read for yourself. Or you can come see me over at One to Listen and I'll do it for you. Just make sure that I know that's what you want beforehand, so I'm sure to be in front of my cards when you call. All right, I just pulled what wants to grow. That's number four. Here's number five. This is the Sacred Connection. And number six is the Becoming. Okay. Okay. The first card, this is the Seed Within, right? This is, hold on, I'm gonna. This is what's growing quietly in us right now. This is the throat chakra. Yeah. This is more people using their voice. This is more people standing up for themselves and others. This is more people feeling like they've got something to say. This is a powerful thing. Some of us never shut up, but some of us never say a word. Don't know that the world needs to hear from us. Don't understand that we carry wisdom that could help other people. This is an important time to share your stories, share your experience, connect to your communities with your voice. Okay, the second card is the Spark. What's ready to be activated? The card is discontent and boredom. Okay, so what's ready to be activated? Maybe it's your sense of adventure or of wonder. Maybe this is a summer where you're going to try some new things or some get back to some old things, but make some changes. So what's ready to be activated? You. You. The discontent and boredom that you're feeling, if you're feeling that, you know that's usually a sign to you that your body's asking for change. Your spirit's asking for change. Maybe your brain's asking for change. Okay, in full bloom. This is where I'm being asked to show up more fully. And of course, this is a collective reading. Okay. And the card is victory and success. So you're being asked to show up more fully in positive ways. Victory and success speaks to me of positive things, of moving forward, of focusing on things that are good and that make sense to you and that you want to share, right? Maybe it's time to share a little bit more of yourself with other people, more positively. I feel like this could even apply to maybe being the one who hosts the barbecue or organizes the friend lunch or Zoom call or just creates more opportunities for community and takes other people along for the ride. All right, what wants to grow? The card I pulled is moving on. So collectively, what wants to grow is we want to move on. I feel like collectively we want to move on from things that feel so negative, from things that are so tiresome, from things that feel like we are always on the defense. We're tired. We're tired. We want to move on from that to things that make us happy, to things that make us laugh, to things that bring us joy. That's where we are. All right, the number five card is the sacred connection. Where can I lean into connection or support? And the card is hope. Now, does that tell us where we can lean in? No, but it does give us some hope that there are others that feel this way too. And I really lean back on the number four card. People are ready to move on from stress and drama and anger and exhaustion. We all have outrage fatigue. We're so fucking sick of it, right? We're so sick of it. And this is where we are. There's hope. There's hope for community to come back together. There's hope for us to be able to repair relationships. There's hope for us to be able to maybe create something new at this point that feels good. I suspect that we'll see here in the next 6 months a lot of opportunities for community, whether it is a study group or a church group or an event or some other kind of fun coming together or more opportunities to volunteer that are interesting and fun. But I feel like there's a lot to be said right now for being a part of the change and also looking at the hope of things getting better. All right, the becoming, what am I stepping into next? The card is solitude. Now, don't get me wrong. I think that you could look at this like, okay, so after all of this change, then we're just going to step into being alone? No, not really. The solitude is a choice, right? The solitude in this card, there's a big book in front of her, and I always think the solitude is in feeling satisfied, content, being able to give ourselves a break to read that book, to relax, to do the things we want to do. There's solitude. That solitude is comfortable. And that's what I'm talking about. Comfortable solitude. That even though we're going to move into more community and more opportunities at the end of the day, we also have this part of ourselves, and I think that's really important. Okay, so that's the collective. Now, I will trust that you will do that one if you want to for yourself as well. But that's a good one. Tara said her Nana's cousin was a pioneer for women's rights around where she lives. She said she was an inspiration. She died in her home surrounded by family at 103. Wow. Jane said she's in the never shut up crowd, but is feeling more feisty about sharing her disappointment in stuff. I hear you. Lillian said this reading is bringing us hope. Good. And Maureen said she loved it. Powerful. Good. Okay, let's keep moving. Christy's energy exercise this week is an energy boost. Of course, there's lots of crime over at True Crime Squad. Planet Meditation has lots of meditations for you to choose from. And that's it for Luminous this week. So hopefully you found some gems there that you can take home with you. Okay. Alrighty. So, I do need to cut us a little bit short today, but I wanted to get to Maureen quickly. She said, I would love an energy clearing if time permits. Her autoimmune is flaring. She said, so tired and frustrated. And no one has answers. Multiple COVID, allergy, and Epstein-Barr flares. Oh, shit. I'm sorry. Yep. Let's lean into that, Maureen. Sometimes when you're just feeling all of that stuff, a good clearing is really helpful because it just helps to clear away anything that's not yours. And right now, you just can't handle anybody siphoning your energy or also just applying theirs to you. Okay. I pulled a bunch of cords out of your high heart and cleared your aura and grounded you. Marina just helped bring you back in a little bit better balance. Awesome. Okay. Well, I know this is a bit short to our normal show, but there are other things I have to attend to today, so I got to cut us a bit short. But I want to thank you all for being here. I want to remind you that I am a professional psychic advisor over at onetolisten.com. You can find me over there every single day. If I'm not present when you come over, just do a callback request or a scheduled call, and I'll get right back to you. Thanks for being here. I'll be back next week, hopefully with out tales of calamities. But if there are, I'll let you know. This has been yet another production of The Katie Weaver Show here on 1-2 Radio, where we're changing the way you listen to the world.